So that's really issue one. Issue two, the second tshuva, and we'll actually we'll start.
That makes no sense at all. What's betochen to that got to do with it?
So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
There was another issue I came across, not with life insurance, but with critical illness insurance, which means you don't get paid. You don't have to die to claim. You can get one of a list of 25 serious illnesses. And are you allowed to do that? And one of the issues there was that if the Ribbono Shel Olam decides to punish you with a sickness, who are you to mitigate the results?
That's interesting. We'll see if the logic from Rav Moshe Tshuva, how that might, if you, I'm probably going to forget. But if you bring that up again, I'm not sure that the logic in his Tshuva would agree necessarily with that statement. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if this, the batteries here, this is not the greatest recorder. So there's a question, should a Jew purchase life insurance? That's our question. And as we talked just a few moments ago, what exactly the problem is? So that's going to be point one that we're going to deal with. Point two is, and this I'm going to need your expertise, is Rav Moshe actually has a tshuva about what kind of life insurance you should get. Somebody asks him, what should you get? And he has a, and he brings, we'll see it hopefully today. If we run out of time for today, we'll do it next time too. But he brings a proof from a Gemara about what type of life insurance you should get. Very interesting. And then there was an entire second issue here that we're going to come to also, I don't know, this week, next week. But the question is, in short, al tiftach pela satan. You're not supposed to talk about negative events that might happen to you.
Right.
At least under certain circumstances. So we'll see. There's a tshuva lechem, the Lechem Shlomo. About that, so as I said a few moments ago, Rav Shlomo Zalman Ehrenreich, he was an Av Beis Din in Hungary, and he was unfortunately killed in Auschwitz, I think at the age, he was about 80, maybe in his 80s, he was killed in Auschwitz. And then, in the fourth tshuva that we have here, is from Rav Avadia Yosef, and it kind of sums up everything that we'll have done beforehand, and he quotes a few other proofs to why he thinks the insurance is okay. I was looking for somebody who said also that it's also you can't get life insurance just to have a good balance, but I didn't see. I don't know. I've heard some people posken that if you ask them, but
it's going to make David feel good.
Okay, so let's begin. So the first one is from, this is the second true promotion. People don't really talk about it so much, at least from what I saw being quoted, but this is the one that everybody quotes. Be'inyan insurance, so that's, if you were wondering how you would spell insurance in Hebrew. Be'inyan insurance, im yesh bazech chisaron chas v'shalom b'bitachon v'asham yisparach olo. So the question is there a... do you have a lack of bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? So l'chalcham echad. So he didn't publicize who he sent it to. Chav Zayim or Cheshon Tavshin Chav Dalet from 1964. So he says, Davar im yesh eze ma'ale ogam eze chashash iser likach insurance policy. So he says the question is there a positive or maybe it's an iser or something wrong with taking out an insurance policy? Shehu chas b'shalom kechiser lo bitachon b'Hashem yisparach. Because what's the problem? Maybe you're not having bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu shebiyachotu la'ashro, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make you wealthy, right? So you ask what the problem is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make you wealthy sheyishar afachar of liyorsho sach gadol. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, he could make you wealthy to leave a lot of money onto your yorshim.
Right.
So maybe from the fact that you're taking out life insurance, you're showing you don't have the bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make you wealthy later on, and you wanna and you're going to need the life insurance money to pass on.
Why would you work in a business? Because maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam might make you wealthy without working in a business.
So that was the other introduction that I wanted to say, and I forgot to. And one of the reasons this is a very nice tshuva is because it largely represents Rav Moshe's views on working versus not working, and hishtadlus versus relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's really for most of this first tshuva, is he talks about the balance between the two. Yeah, yeah. So that's... right, your question was exactly was in Rav Moshe's mind as he was writing this tshuva, right? What's the difference? Okay, so good. So second paragraph. So I figured also we would go from top to bottom. I don't know if with questions or any other formats that are better for the future.
No, that's
definitely
good.
Let me know.
That's
good. So he says, "Hinei l'anias daiti." So he says, in my humble opinion, I don't see any lack of bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To who kechol inyanei mischar she'adam lo rak. So he says it's like any other business area. She'adam lo rak she'rashai el gamuchuyuv la'asos mischar. Right, a person is obligated to engage in business, to work. Va'avoda leparnasaso. So he's obligated to do avoda, to do something for a parnasa. So he says it's usher for a person to just sit back and say, okay, I'm not going to do anything, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me all my needs.
Right.
That's, he says that's usher to do that. So he's... In Som Chanal Hanes, that also, yeah, all these things come up here. Yeah. In Som Chanal Hanes, you can't just sit back and wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make you rich. So he says, the minalo sheyesh lo zechus kaze. He says, how do you know? There are some, he says, and as we'll see, there are some people that have this chus that they could sit back and they're going to win the lottery. He's like, but how in the world would you know that you're one of them?
Right.
Levad ha'iser, so he says, that's point one, is that it's also for you to just rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally to provide a parnasa. And point two is, so he says...
Excuse me just one second, okay. I do need to...
So, and the second point is, so he says, "Levad ha'iser lismoch al hanes," right? Like David, like you just brought up.
In the middle of
the shiur. Af le'elu shiruyin. Even if you're a big tzaddik and you have enough schus that a kodesh baruch hu do an ace for you, you're not supposed to. You're still not supposed to rely on that. Deha. Usher af lehis palel sheyase lo Hashem yisparach nes. He says it's even usher to. It's usher to even daven for an ace. But that's even one step more than just than relying on it. It's you cannot daven for an ace, right? And how do we know that? Kimefush bebrachos daf samech shaal yehi radson sheteleid ish tizachar kishehi meuberes harezet tefilas shav.
That's a tefilas shav. That's not an ace. That's a tefilas shav because the gender has already been determined by the time she knows.
And the person who's davening, right? And the person who's davening, he's davening that it changes.
Yeah, but it,
which is an ace. That's the ace part of it.
Ah, he's davening for an ace.
He's davening. If he's not allowed to daven after the certain, well, we're gonna. He quotes more of this gemara, but he's not allowed to daven for his wife to have a zachar because that means if it's in a keva right now, he wants a kadosh baruch hu to do an ace for him to change it into a zachar.
Uh-huh. Okay, right. I never thought of it that way.
Okay, actually. Yeah, that's the. Okay, so hiksha hagemara. So now the gemara says, wait a second, right from the. From Tanakh, from the Chumash, Mileya, right? Like, I mean, it's not, the story isn't in the Chumash, Chazal say, so, Shehit Palala Keshahaitam Uberes Bizachar, right? So Leah, we were saying that it's even usher to daven for an ace to happen for you, right? It's not even to rely on it. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, five lines down at the beginning of the line. So when Leah was she davin when she was pregnant, bezachar shetihyan akeva, right? And then the baby turned to Dina, that was this child. Alma af Leah shehi me ha'imahos hikshe shehaya asur lalis palal af shiruya haidaleya sos lanes, right? Leah was one of the imahos. She was obviously a big tzaddekes. And the Gemara is questioning her actions of davening that her son should change to a daughter, right? You're not even allowed to daven for a miracle to happen for you.
Right? How do we know that she did? This is
So Chazal make that, right, from the drusher from the Psukim. So I didn't, where's the... I took a look at this Gemara in passing. We can look after if you want. Well, it's Daf Samech, the Gemara makes the drushers from the Psukim that... Rashi quotes it also that it was originally a zachar and she davened. She said that.
How would she know what it was originally without ultrasound?
Ruach HaKodesh.
So she knew and she prayed for it to be different, or she didn't know but she prayed for a certain outcome.
Okay, either or. Even in the letter,
it's wrong according to Brach. In
the Gemara Brachos, that says you're not allowed to daven. Yes.
You're not allowed to daven for something once it's already happened.
Right. Yeah. So the Gemara, right? So the Gemara says that Leah already had six kids, and the other two, Bilhah and Zilpah, each had two. And she said, if I have another son right now, that means Rachel won't even be on the same level as Bilhah and Zilpah. So she davened that she should have a girl, so that Rachel could have two boys and at least be on the same level as the Shvachot, right? So that's the Gemara says there. So he says, "Vegam continue. Vegam hurglu ha'avos v'imahos v'ha'imahos benisim." And also, they had miracles happen to them all the time. Yet the Gemara still says she shouldn't have. The Gemara asks that she shouldn't have done it. V'lachein. So what, he says, even though av shetirates ein maskirin masa nisim. The Gemara there gives this first answer: ein maskirin masa nisim. You can't mention acts of miracles, right? So it's not so clear what that answers. So Rav Moshe here explains Shemashma Shehu Tirutz Gam Amma Shahita Rishalis Palel Hu Rak Leah Shein Dugmas B'chol Doros. So he says the Gemara says you shouldn't daven, and they ask from Leah, okay, so Leah was a big tzaddikess, and maybe she could have done it, but not anybody else. That's what the Gemara's first answer is. So at the end of the day, it's still a proof, right, that you can't daven for a miracle. Even Leah did, but we were going to say Leah was one of the imahos, so she was different, so maybe she could have, but the rest of us can't. Right? That's the... So, v'gam, ulai hu mitzad ha-din shadana, right? Or maybe it's just, it was part of her... Like, oh, that's what we just explained, that the calculation that she made in her head, that she didn't want her sister to not be on the same level of the shvachot, that she was able to daven for this, but it would not be...
So what happened to sister? They traded?
So
why does whether she has a boy or a girl affect?
Because there's supposed to be 12 shvatim.
Yeah.
Shvatim were 12 males. So if she would have had 7 of those males, and each of the other shvachot had 2, so that's already 11. And Rachel would have had one boy.
Yeah, okay.
And then she wouldn't have been on the same level.
Yeah. Okay.
So if he says Vegam Beleya Sover Tirutz Bas, right? There's a second answer in the Gemara.
But the other Moors had more than 2 boys.
No.
Didn't they?
No, they each had 2.
They each only had 2.
They each had 2 at that point. Yeah, they each had 12. Leah had 6 sons. Bilhah and Zilpah each had 2. And Rachel had 2.
Yeah, so then Leah had 6. And they had 2. That's what I'm saying.
So Leah had 6 and she was pregnant with her 7th.
Yeah, but the fact is, so she was having more anyway. She had more...
What do you mean?
Nobody says Rachel should be better than the Shvachos, only the same.
Right, to be equal to them.
Two and two.
You've lost me.
Okay.
You've lost me.
Okay. So, Rachel Leah had 6 children.
And Rachel had none.
Rachel, at this point, had none, I think.
Right.
So, Leah became pregnant with the 7th.
So I don't she's know, already 7 ahead of the other one. The other one can never make up to equal.
Not make up to her. So Leah had 6 at this point, and the other 2 each already had 2.
Had 2, right.
So we're up to a total of 10 children now. And they knew that there was going to be 12. So there's 2 more left.
Right.
So Leah said to herself, if I have 1 male,
yeah,
then there's going to be 1 male left for my sister, for Rachel.
Right.
Then Rachel is only going to have 1, and Bilhah and Zilpah will each have 2.
Okay.
And then Rachel won't even be on the same level as the Shvachot. So Leah Davin.
Point taken.
And then it became Dina.
Right. Okay. Point taken.
Okay. So then the Gemara gives a second answer here. The Gam Bilayat's over, so we're 4 lines up from the end of this paragraph. Tirutz Basra, Shalom Haita Risha'a. The hutzra, that she shouldn't have done this, really, right? Davening is not allowed for a male or female. V'hutzra chletarit d'haya zeh b'toch 40 yom, and this is maybe even the halacha, because I've heard this before. Within the first 40 days, you are allowed to. So Leah did it within the first 40 days.
Right.
Right, but if not, she would not have, according to this, she would not have davened for a female, because you can't daven for a nace.
And what's the logic? That the medical knowledge at the time, that they thought that the gender wasn't determined yet?
Right, so I was thinking about this before, but this is not my area of expertise.
You know what?
Do you have any idea when gender... Yeah?
I can't tell you from by heart, but I have saved a video that was made by a doctor who did studies in vitro and showed the baby developing from before the sperm hits the egg right through till the time the baby is born. And I think that the sex is not determined till about 40 days. It's amazing.
That's not the conventional genetic explanation with X and Y chromosomes.
But that might not make it happen. Right, so you're saying that it would have happened immediately, right?
Immediately. Right before the first division of the
Great Light. That's interesting.
I don't know.
That's an interesting...
The conventional genetics is that the egg has XX.
Right,
the sperm has XY.
And then
you divide them both. You either get another XX individual or you get an XY individual. XY is a male and XX female. So it's the moment of conception that also determines the gender.
Okay.
Ah, right, okay. I think we could still even go with that. But the fetus might not exhibit or anything is going to develop until 40 days. And then that's really why...
You can't see it.
You can dive in for a change because it didn't... Yeah. It didn't, and nothing started to develop yet. Yeah. So I guess wouldn't it be a miracle.
You couldn't see anything, right?
Even in a case where you can't see anything anyway. But in a case where this doctor who did this study, he wasn't able to see anything. So maybe that's the.
If the fetus miscarried, I mean, even back then, they must have had miscarriages, and they must have taken a look, find out what they could learn from it.
Maybe. There's a Gemara in, I don't remember where now, Sod Hashem Li Re'ev. That's what the Gemara says. When one of the rabbis knew something that was, I don't know, way to know, and the Gemara says, Sod Hashem Li Re'ev, that God reveals his secrets to those who fear him. So the Chazal had their, they knew. It's an interesting topic for, I don't know, maybe Shavuos. Now I might have a potential Chazal in science. It's a very interesting topic. Okay, so he says, so now back to our point here. He says it's vaday usher to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending you parnasa below shum avodu mischar without you having to work and engage in business. So point one that Rav Moshe says is it's impossible to sit back and rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send you your business, right? And now point two is, well, what happens after you get it? How are you supposed to view that?
Right.
So he says, Av shehut sorech leida shekol ma shemarviach meavodaso mischaro, right? But you should know that any time, any profit that you make from your work and from your business, hurak me Hashem yisparach, everything you do is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu who set it aside for you. So we've got these like the dichotomy. You can't sit back and not do anything. And then when you work, you have to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who sent you what you had, right? So it's an interesting, these are two concepts that are very interesting to weave together. So he says, kach nigzar me Hashem yisparach. This is what Hashem told us to do. Sharak ayidei eizem maase avodo mischar, that only through us working in a certain way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishalach lo Hashem yisparach parnasaso misad, that only through us working in a certain way, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu send us what he set aside for us on Rosh Hashanah? Meaning, what, like everybody, you know, you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu set aside for you however much you're supposed to make on Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Moshe, in weaving these together, says you would only get that if you worked for it. Meaning, if you didn't work, that's part of this whole concept was Hashem sets it aside, plus you have to work, and those come together to you getting it, but you have to realize that it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says, so mitzad shenemar, like the pasuk says, bizeya apecha tocha lechem, right? And through the sweat of your brow, you will make bread. You have to work for your livelihood. Uchem beforosh b'sof kiddushin harei osi et maasai v'kafachti et parnasasi. So the Gemara there says, I think this is talking about post Gan Eden, is that harayosi, you made bad my maasim, kapachti means forfeited. You forfeited my parnasa, meaning when we were in Gan Eden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a parnasa. Mm-hmm. Post Gan Eden, you have to work for it.
By the sweat of your brow?
Right. Bizeat apecha.
Nose,
okay.
Nose?
Isn't the brow the part of the nose?
The English, the normal.
I think that's
the old English translation.
In classical Hebrew, af is a nostril.
True.
And apayim is a nose. So it's actually a nostril.
Okay.
Oh, no,
everybody translates
it. Apecha.
Apecha.
Yeah, that's apecha.
Okay. Fine. So that's his paragraph one, and he's going to continue to develop this idea about looking at parnasa versus hishtadlus and this whole idea. So now he quotes a very interesting Va'af Rabbi Nehurai Sham. So he says Rabbi Nehurai in the Gemara, the end of Kiddush, Sha'omer Niach Ani Kol Umnus Sheba Olam. He says I'm leaving all. What's a good translation of umnas? Professions. He says, I'm leaving all professions in the world. The eini milamed et bini el Torah. So Rav Nehurai tells this very interesting thing, right? Rav Moshe says in the previous paragraph, you have to work. That's the point, you have to work. And now he says, but wait a second, Rabbi Nehurai says, he's not teaching his son any profession. Sounds like he's not doesn't want his son to work. He says he's only teaching him Torah. He only wants to teach his son Torah.
That's right, he'd fit him well here. He'd fit him well here.
I'm not making any contemporary comments. Okay. So Rav Moshe is also, and then he's going to explain this in a very, very interesting way, which is what they say, the gadlus of Rav Moshe was he could look at a Gemara and explain it in a way that really makes sense in the Gemara, but nobody before him explained it before. Right. So he says, Shemashma she'enu mechayiv l'ha'av l'lmod et b'no umnos. So he says, this Gemara sounds like a father is not required to teach a son a profession. So he says, Nami Pashut, Shagam Humode. So he says, no, I think it's clear that even Rabbi Nehurai would admit, She'ain Lismoch Al Hanes. Even Rabbi Nehurai, who won't teach his son a profession, still will say, you can't sit back and rely on a miracle for God to give you food.
Mm-hmm. But isn't there actually a Gemara or Mishnah that says that you have the father has certain duties towards the son, and one of them
umnos,
is to teach him.
Right, to teach him umnos.
So how can it then runs?
So I would assume that Rabbi Nehurai disagrees with
on
it.
On the other hand, Rosh Hashiva
or
is also
we'll see
a step.
Hmm?
Rosh Hashiva is also a profession.
Right, Rav Moshe comes to that point almost towards the end that Rosh, like nowadays we do accept money for learning, so he could. Right. There is that Gemara. So I think either Rabbi Nehurai would disagree with it. I think that's what anybody else would have thought, that Rabbi Nehurai... It's a good question,
but
right?
No, maybe Rabbi Nehurai is simply saying that all you should do is teach Torah, but so long as you use the Torah for something. This is always my beef, is the fact is that you shouldn't just sit in Kollel and for years and years. You should do something with it if you're going to become a Rav, right, for example, and pass on your knowledge or use it, you know, in order to help other people learning Torah or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. Then that's the right...
I think to an extent you're correct, right? Lomot al menat lelamed, right? You should learn on the account to teach. But right. I think on the other hand, it's important for people to have... Torah as a central part of their lives, and especially after they get married, to take some time out if they want to learn, 100%. Even if they're not going to be, even if they're not going to be teaching.
No. But you're saying taking some time out, that means they're doing something else. But I'm saying
go to
somebody
for a few years, and then you go into a profession, or
or you use it for teaching.
I'm saying I don't think you have to use you don't only go to Kollel. If you're going to be teaching in the future, I think that there's a value in and of itself, a value in that in some cases some people will be teaching.
Right.
It seems to me. But let's see, it's very interesting. We'll see what he does with this Gemara. He says, Avasso. So he says, even Rabbi Nehurai would agree you can't rely on a miracle, right? So now hold on a second. Rabbi Nehurai didn't teach his son a profession. How is his son going to put food on the table? So Rav Moshe says Rabbi Nehurai thinks that most people, especially when they're young, that they won't be able to learn Torah as it should be, if they also spend their time learning an umnus, which is fascinating for education, right? Very, very interesting for education. All of our educational models are built on a dual curriculum.
Right.
And he's saying that at least Rabbi Nehurai thinks that maybe the best thing is that you can't do. You can't be successful in learning Torah if you're also learning for a profession at the same time.
Right.
I don't know if anybody has. Yeah. I didn't even think of that until right now, just in terms of the educational perspective that Rabbi Nehurai is giving. Okay, so he says, V'hatorah chayva l'ha'av l'mo et b'no Torah. And Rabbi Nehurai says, well, the Torah says you have to teach your son, right?
V'limadetem otam... Right.
Yeah, so... So therefore we have to say sheyochol lismoch al zeh, the person has to rely on the fact sheyazmin lo Hashem yisparach eiza avod bigadluso. He's, it's kind of like, sounds like a smaller kind of miracle. He says, according to Rabbi Noah Rai, you have to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you a parnasa when you grow up, b'sha'a sheyitztarech leharviach leparnasa. So at the point when you need money, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give it to you, uparnasas isho banim, when you get married, you have children, you have to support them. Kazo sheyuchal af below limud ve'esek bazeh bialduso, in a way that you didn't have to learn a profession when you were younger. Kodem shehuzrach leparnasa. So before you needed a parnasa, right? So he's saying, we'll sum this up at the end of the paragraph. He says aval below avod begadluso, but if without working at all, gan Rabbi Nehorai modeh she'asur lismoch al neis. He says, when Rabbi Nehorai said he would only teach his son Torah and not teach him a profession, Rabbi Nehorai wasn't saying that when his son grows up, his son is going to have to rely on a miracle for food. He was saying, okay, now when he's young, I need to teach him Torah. When he grows up, he still has to work.
Right.
And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a way that he'll be able to find a job without having learned the profession in his youth. I don't think that point is so out there, because I think a lot of times you see there's a lot of people who go straight from yeshiva and then they start $1 million companies, right?
Yeah,
you don't,
right, absolutely.
It happens, yeah, right.
Sure.
It's not, so Rav Moshe, it seems to be explaining that Rabbi Noah Rai's opinion is that don't teach a profession when he's younger, but that doesn't mean that the child won't work when he's older. It means he's going to have to work at some point.
Right.
Okay. Uchad ifsik b'rambam b'per gimot mitam, did we skip a line?
Nope.
At the beginning of the second to the last line of that paragraph, right? The even Rabbi Noah Rai says that at some point the son is going to have to work for his parnasa. So this is what I was just looking at before, and this is where the Rambam says that you should kol hamasim alibo shiyasok betorah v'lo yasem melacha. The punishment minatzak. Whoever says to himself, I will not work, and I'm going to take from stuck. I'm going to sit down and learn. I'm going to take from stuck. Harei zechil elas Hashem. So that's a chilul Hashem. Ubiza es haTorah, and it's an embarrassment to the Torah to do that. And he quotes all these, this whole, the end, he says, b'chol Torah she'ini ma'malacha, any Torah where the person is not doing a malacha, working with it, sofa b'teila, at the end of the day, it's going to become batel, it's going to become nullified. V'sof adam zeshe melastim is a brios. The Rambam has a very harsh language here to people who aren't going to work, basically.
Right.
Basically. So that's what the Rambam says. So he says, av shebik katnuto mashma sheposei kerabi Nehorai. So he says, even maybe when the child is a katan when he's young. Okay, so maybe it sounds like the Rambam does hold like Rabbi Nehorai. She'ein hav chayev lomod umnos lebanav. So he says, maybe the Rambam agrees with this. Why? The Rambam never quotes the halacha that, Michael, that you mentioned before, the Gemara that says the father has to teach it to the son. The Rambam never says that that's a halacha. So.
You mean he didn't count as one of the 613?
Derabanan, I don't know, whatever you would... whatever mitzvah you would call that. The Rambam didn't count it. The Rambam didn't say that. Which means that... So Rav Moshe suggests maybe the Rambam agrees with Rabbi Nehorai that when the kid is young, you should only teach Torah, don't teach a profession. Though we're going to see that of course there's going to be exceptions to that, because there's always exceptions, and if a kid can't learn, if he's not going to be doing good things with his time, then of course you teach him the profession. Right. But he's saying maybe the Rambam agrees that when the kid is a katan, so you only teach them Torah. But the Rambam, based on the Rambam's comments from here about a person who only learns and doesn't work, it's clear that the Rambam would obligate somebody to work as they get married, have a family, as they need to work. Okay, so next paragraph, he says va'od yireh b'tam Rabbi Nehorai. He says, another reason within Rabbi Nehorai, shekivan sheim yilmad livno gam umnus lo yuchal lilmod kara. It sounds like he's summing this up, but he says, if you teach him a profession, you won't be able to teach him Torah like you should be, because he's not going to be able to do both well. So he says, Behechreach, you have to say shegzerah bezeat apecha, that the pasuk that says you have to work for your food, v'chein v'harayoti et maasavi kapachti et parnasas, and the pasuk that said you forfeited Hakadosh Baruch Hu's parnasas, so you have to work. She'amar Rabbi Rashba b'mas nisin that we had in the Mishnah. Efshar sheyihiu al hashanim dibiyal do so. You would have to suggest that the pasuk that says you have to work for your food doesn't talk about a minor. It's not going to talk about a kid who's young. Why? Uchamosh, because, and he says there are other times. There are plenty of times in our lives where we're not working, right? One of them is right now we're learning. Right. One of them is when you're davening in shul. We'll see. Right. One of them is
Shabbos.
Right. Very good. That's what he says. Kamosha eafshar shiyu gam al yimei hashabbato. Right. It's impossible to say that the pasuk b'zeh apecha, that you need to work for your food, applies to Shabbos v'yantiv. V'af b'chol azman tefila, certainly doesn't apply to zman tefila. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he said that you should work, that doesn't mean that you should be over on Isser of working on Shabbos. Right. Of course, it doesn't mean that.
It says Shabbat Chol.
Right.
You know the history of that.
No.
In the early days of Jewish America, so people came from Europe. They felt really difficult. They found it really difficult not to work because the conditions were hard.
Yeah.
So they justified it by quotation out of context, mm-hmm. that says, from the Gemara, says, Asay Shabbat Chachoyl. Okay. What the true context is,
I don't know. That's what I was going
to
ask you.
You have the tools to research. I don't remember what the real context is.
Okay. It just goes to show you that you can always take a quote out of context.
I
get it to say what you want.
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, right? Ubehachrechu rak ayimeachov lo bizmanat fila, in the fourth line up from the end of this paragraph.
He says, I think it was something to do with food for Shabbos. I think
From the work during the times that's available for us to work, and not during davening times, meaning don't feel you have to work 20 hours a day. It's important to take off time to daven. Yitain lanu lechem v'chol sarcheinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you daven now, and you'll be able to provide for your needs with the rest of your time. Ukamochein sover Rebbe Nehorai. So he says, maybe Rebbe Nehorai is in agreement with this. Shehu l'inyan halimud im b'neurosa, that when the son, teaching the son in his youth, shekevan she'i efshar sheyuchal lemot im b'neuroso yilamdu aviv gam unos. So he says, maybe he would say that if it's impossible to teach your son, so good, teach him. If you're not teaching him Torah, it's very good. Teach him a profession. That's what you should do. Right? It's just that these are a time period, just like Shabbos, you're not working, just like Yantiv, just like when you're davening, just like all those cases. So too, when he's a youth, he's not supposed to be working at that point in time. V'lo nemar al shanim elu sheyisarach lasok ben be'omnos, right? He doesn't have to work. Bishvil hagzera de'bezer apecha u'ma'amar v'kapachti parnasasi, right? This is child labor laws, right? That's the, he's not, when he's young, he's not going to be working. So he says, okay, so he'll be learning, and then he'll be working.
Right.
Okay. So v'lachein, shayach zeh rak b'nei uroso. Right? He says this whole thing applies in his youth. But aval kishenigda, when he grows up, v'tzarech ba'atzmo la molu parnasaso, and he himself, he has to work for his parnaso, parnasas ishto, and for his wife's parnaso, banav. Right? He has to support his family. Lo shayach zeh. Lo shayach zeh. This whole rationale doesn't apply. At this point in time, he needs to work. V'gam hu modeh d'tzorach lasos eizem malacha d'al shanim elu harei vada hayta gzera. And he says, even Rabbi Nehorai admits that when he grows up, he has to work because that's what the gzera is. B'zer apecha tocha lechem applies when you're an adult and you have a family and you have to support them. V'gam hu kvar higia bizmanam l'madrega. And he says when you're a kid, right? He suggested maybe you can't learn a profession while you're working, but when you're an adult, you could. right? You could set aside time in your day to learn and learn at a high level and understand what's going on and also work, right? That's something that adults can do. Va'af bizmanenu shekol chayenu ein magin ruba de ruba lemadrega kazo. So he says, and in our day, most people, it's interesting, unless I'm misunderstanding this, he says, most people it's hard to reach this madrega of learning and working at the same time. That's what I think he's saying. He says, because most people nowadays can't do both. It sounds almost like that's like an ideal, right? And I think that's what the Tanaim Amoraim did, right? A lot of them all worked and they learned. So he's saying now, like that would seem to be more of an ideal. But nowadays, when people can't do both at the same time, so it's okay for you to learn full time and to accept money to be the rav of the city, to be a teacher, something like that. So that if you're learning and you're going to be making your money that way, okay, fine, that's okay. Lo shayach shenitbat gzeiras Hashem yisbarach legamrei, right? The working for your money, the fact that you have to work wasn't totally nullified, right? Rabbis possibly work harder than anybody else. They're working.
100%.
He says maybe there are fine. There might be like the person who's a yachid who shouldn't be working because maybe he should only be learning and not even taking a position as a rav, which every generation has their gedolim, people that really sat all day learning till, right, they say...
But even the gedolim, they give over their knowledge to other people, then that's how they help.
At a certain point, they do. In Shir one time, Rav Neuberger said that Rav Shach, till he was like 75, he sat learning. And then, because one of the other gedolim lived down the block in Bnei Brak, so Rav Shach always said, go to him, and then the other gedolim was Nifter. So Rav Shach, from like 70, we know so much about Rav Shach, it all happened from when he was like 70, he lived till he was maybe almost 100.
So
it's all been like the last 20-ish years of his life, that's how we know Rav Shach as giving the speeches and being involved in the politics and the whole thing,
right.
And for a large part of his life, he was learning. So there are, it happens. But Rav Moshe calls them, right, yechidim, right? They're yechidim mamish. They're really like, absolutely exceptions. Yeah.
My father, Alav Shalom, was a Talmud at Mir, the original Mir.
In Poland. Wow.
And he told me that they're getting smicha was frowned on. Now, they recognized that the boys from outside Poland, Litev, and the non-local ones, they needed to have smicha so they could make a living.
Mm-hmm.
So they allowed them, the yeshiva didn't give smicha, they allowed them to go into Pinsk and from the Rav there to get smicha.
Mm-hmm.
The local boys didn't take smicha, that was because Torah Lishma.
And then what did they do after? They got jobs?
I don't know.
That's very interesting.
But they had this idea of Torah Lishma, and yeah,
They say the Chofetz Chaim didn't have smicha.
Yeah. And the Vilna Gaon didn't have smicha.
That's what I've heard. Like, nobody gave him an official piece of paper that said, you're now a rabbi. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe he got one much later in life to travel or something. Who knows what the story is, but that's what
to sell his sefer.
Oh, that's why?
To sell the Mishnah Berurah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, the Mishnah Berurah is published already in the late 1800s, right? Just maybe he had smicha then, I don't know.
Not sure.
I thought he got smicha much later even.
My father told me he remembered coming to Dublin, selling his new sefer.
Mm-hmm. I thought I had heard that he got it. Maybe there's a story. Somebody saw his passport and said, why doesn't it say rabbi? Somebody saw something, why doesn't it say rabbi? So he said, well, it's because I'm not a rabbi. Okay, very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so next paragraph. Okay, so v'kevan shehu kain af ligdolim mitzadikim sheroi leyasos lahem neis. He says, so if this whole system is true, even if you're a gadol, you're such a tzaddik that a Kadosh Baruch Hu could do a neis for you, kol shekein la'elu shebedoreinu, he says, all the more so for in our generation, she'anu yasmei de yasmei, right, we're the orphans of the orphans, she'asur lanu lismoch ala neis, you can't rely on the miracle of a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving you a parnasa. So now his next point, he's going to say, there's nothing wrong with choosing a profession that pays on the higher scale, right? If all things given equal, so there's nothing wrong with it. Ein shum chid al mash shemat mishtadlin levakesh umnos yoter nocha vekala v'ruuyil fi shumas hanashim yoter larviach. He says there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you could be choose to be an artist or choose to be a doctor, right? And so he says there's nothing wrong with picking the one that's going to make more money for yourself to make things easier. So he says, "Af." And now, write another very good concept about parnasa. So, "Af" on the next page. Should sarach lahamin shehashem yisparach yachol itein parnasa, but mikol umnus. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give you. There are unfortunately doctors that don't do very well, and there's artists that make millions. Right?
Right.
He says, really, all things even equal, go for the one that you have the higher earning potential. But this doesn't contradict the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give people according to from any profession. Kid Amar Rabbi Meir Sham, the Gemara says, she'in anius mina umnus, ein ashirus mina umnus. He says, there's no rich profession, there's no poor profession. Ela hakol afi zechus. So everything is according to the zechus of a person. So he explains, mishum de enu yodei Hashem hu enu zoche laharviach beumnos acheres ela bechizo sheyote ruia laharvacha. He says, if somebody chooses, and I just picked an artist item. I'm sure there's many, many examples. If somebody picks a profession where they're not going to make so much money and they end up making a lot of money, that's because they had a lot of zechus. They had a lot of zechus. But he says you can't just pick any profession relying on the fact like, oh yeah, I must have a lot of zechus, so I'm going to go pick that, right? That shouldn't be part of your cheshbon. So he says there's nothing wrong with picking a profession that the general payment is more, because it's going to be easier for you. It'll be easier to pay your yeshiva bills and to put food on the table
and to take time off to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Aval yada shekoma sheyarviach achar kol advarim vishtadlus. Again, he's same point. He says you should know that all the profit that you make vishtadlus also rak meyashem yisbarach. The whole thing is from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hanos in koach lasos chayil. The pasuk says Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives strength lasod chayil. Right. So now, what does that mean? So he quotes vitargum unkelos. He quotes unkelos lasod chayil means, I guess, to make wealth. Right. That's how I think the Arch Scroll would translate it. Hashem gives you the koach to make wealth. What does this mean? Shenotin lcha etza lemikne nich. So Unkelos says it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't give you wealth, he gives you advice that you can purchase objects to make money from, right, in your business. And all these other things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the advice. So we're actually getting to like the crux of the answer here, and it's Mincha in 2 minutes.
We could come back between Mincha and Amar.
Okay. So he says, in came, right, in this second to last paragraph of this Shura,
right. Yeah.
In came, gam insurance, hu kechol in yanai mizchar. He says, insurance is no different than any of these other business. It's no different than business. Uchadoma, she'osin leparnasas atzma. He says, it's no different than anything else you do for your parnasa. Uparnasas banav, she'rishan likach zeh. Right, he says, it's okay, it's mutter to take. Why? Kevan shuhu maset parnasa. He says it's a form of parnasa, right? So he spent this whole tshuva developing that parnasa is something you have to work for. It's something that right. We value. We think is important. So too, this the insurance is no different than any other parnasa. The gam ula yakil zemei alav. He says maybe it's even going to make your life easier. Shelo yisarach laavod harbe laniach shiyishalid zignuso v'liyushalavana v'achar. That you won't have to work so hard in your life to make sure that you have for old age and to have as a yerusha, because you'll know that you have insurance, which would free up your time
to,
for other pursuits. Kevan shebederech neis eino zoche v'gam israelis palal azeh. So he says you can't rely on a miracle to become rich, right? And he says it's also a daven on this to become rich. So he says in the Gemara it says that Abaye thought it was He thought it was a negative, a person who needs to rely on a miracle for their parnasa, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give it to you b'derech teva, in a natural way. He says, "V'gam aser lehanos mi ma'ase nisim." It's aser to get hana even from ma'ase nisim. Kidisa b'tani stav chavdalad again sham b'rashi. So he's so okay, fine. So now four, where are we? Five lines down. He says, "V'imkein." Therefore, kisha rotza lahashir lezik nuso v'li yerusha. if you want to be able to have money for old age, have money for a Yerusha, for the Yorshim, right, for the have an inheritance, Harid Sorich Sha Hashem Yisbarach Yashpia Lo Mimasha Osa Yoter Mikvi Haroy B'Derech Haragyo. In order to become very wealthy, you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you a great bracha. You have to have a lot of zechus to become very wealthy in order to have enough for to give over. Shuke ain derech nes. He said that's almost like it's a nes, right? It's almost like nes to become wealthy. Sheulai Eino zoche v'gam eino min haroy k'del. Right? Maybe you won't be zoche. Who knows if you're going to become rich? And we, like he mentioned earlier, you can't just sit back and say I have a lot of zechus, so I can pick up parnasa that's not going to have enough money. I have a lot of zechus, so I shouldn't work. Right? You can't do that. V'lachin. Therefore, kevan shehashem yisbarach natan. So this is his famous line that people always quote from here. V'lachin kevan shehashem yisbarach natan deya b'dorot ha'achronim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the wisdom to our to the later generations, meaning our generations, sheyia esek zeshel insurance ba'olam. Right? Insurance isn't it hasn't been around for so long, especially life insurance. Right? We have from the 1300s-1400s we have tshuvos that talk about insurance for maritime businesses. Right? There, we have insurance around, but the concept of life insurance is relatively new. Yeah, so he says, right. I mean, 100 years. I don't really know, but he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave wisdom to people to invent the system to have insurance. And what it enables you to do is it enables you to have money for old age or for Yerusha in a natural way, not in a way of a miracle. So who dover told the ra'oi? So he says it's a good thing, it's a good and appropriate. Kosher people that rely only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who notin eitza l'miknet nifsin, right? And you rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives like Unkelus explained, gives eitza to people to acquire objects to make transactions. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave wisdom to people to think of life insurance. So he says, "Tegam mi shekona insurance hunami eitza Hashem Yisparach lemikne insurance ubotech al Hashem Yisparach shiuchal shalim bahagia." So he says, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives eitza to people to get insurance. So now, where's bitachon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Three lines up from this paragraph, right? What's your bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this system? Ubotech al Hashem Yisparach shiuchal shalim bahagia zman bechol shana v'zeh habitachon shanu mechuyavin. He says you should have enough bitachon that you'll be able to make enough money to pay your premiums every year. That's your bitachon, right? It's not a bitachon in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have a lack of bitachon that he's going to make you rich. Your bitachon is you have enough money to pay your premiums. Okay. That's a bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, that's a good line.
Good stuff.
V'chein, who be insurance shall sreifa? And he says this is true for all kinds of insurance. Fire insurance, gneva from theft, insurance shall hakars. I thought that was nice. The car and auto insurance.
He doesn't know that a car is auto. And that a certain davening, you can use your car in Shabbos. You know that?
For what?
It says, Tiferes auto liyum menucha.
So we just had a shiur from Rav Carmel the other day to the Kola, where he was talking about electricity, and he said, there are poskim we don't rely on. There are serious Tamidei Chachamim, Sfardi poskim, who poskim that electricity was mutter to use at least on Yom Tov. That's what he said. And he said, and in the world now, he's like, imagine you electric cars. If electricity is allowed to be used at least on Yom Tov, then even electric cars.
Right.
So very interesting. All these new innovations. Okay, so he says shakol elu hu dover she'ein bazeh shum chisor l'inyan bitachon. He says all these things. Insurance is not a lack of bitachon. Kumoshen nagu heter kol olam af yirei Hashem Yisbarach biyoter. Right. So and everybody does it. So if you're shemaim, you could do it. You do it too. It's what's done. He says vihine matzino b'Rambam perachav dalam yishabes halacha hey. So he says the Rambam says shemana gam ken b'cheshbonos shal mitzvah shemuter b'shabes. So you're allowed to make cheshbonos of mitzvah on Shabbos, right? If you ever wondered why somebody can get up and say that they don't do it here, but that he can make a donation to the shul on Shabbos, right? So right. It's shal mitzvah. You're allowed to do that.
We have a word for that process. It's called schnoddering. Schnoddering?
No.
By bush another.
Okay, so he says, so the Rambam says you can even include in your cheshbonos on Shabbos the fact that your calculations to pay somebody for your profession for your son, something like that. Or Okay. Mishum shehu machshavot micheshbono shel mitzvah. So the Rambam clearly says that an umnos is a mitzvah, right? And we said earlier that the Rambam said umnos wasn't. The Rambam didn't say that you had a mitzvah to teach umnos. So harenim says she pasal chadisurach avulam the umnos. So you see from here the Rambam says that father has to teach a profession. So he says, well, you can answer this. Aval mikivan shelo hisker din rak kan. The Rambam only said, the Rambam didn't say this din in Talmud Torah. He didn't say this in where he would talk about right. mitzvah things that father has to do. Rak kan agav grora yesh. So he only said it here, like as a by the way, included in these things you're allowed to make cheshbon for on Shabbos is teaching a profession to your son. So he says, Yesh lefarish b'tinok kazesh ein lo hakoch l'lmod Torah. So we could explain, either there's talking about a tinok, if he doesn't have the koch to learn Torah, like we mentioned earlier, of course, it's absolutely appropriate to teach a profession to a child right. in that situation. Or maybe the Rambam's even saying it's already this child is a little bit older, he's at the point where he needs to start his parnasa, so you could teach him. So at the end of the day, according to Rav Moshe, right, insurance is a bracha from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, put insurance into right. people's minds to think of such a system, and absolutely you could get it. Now there was a point right. that you mentioned at the beginning. We have like a minute.
Critical illness insurance. There's a sort of insurance called critical illness insurance.
Okay.
That pays not when you die,